Episode 473, March 30th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
The quarantine continues, Rob and Joe show. We're in... Three different places. Back to the old days. We're doing it on Skype, Joe. Good evening, gentlemen. How we doing?
I mean, I'm okay. Have you guys... Katie and I had a fight, so we're good now. But did you have you and Tawanda fought yet since you've been together for 21 days or whatever?
You know, no, we haven't. I felt like there was a couple moments where, like, there's a little... tense things, but they were about nothing, and then we just decided to shut up and just watch TV. So no, but we've not had a fight at all, which is good. Now Katie seemed pretty feisty on the text today, so I'm guessing that there's a little drama there at home for you.
No, actually we work the whole time, so I don't really see her during the day. I'm up in the chair and she was downstairs by the deck.
Okay, well that's good. Well, another week. Looks like we're going to be in this at least another month.
Yeah, actually.
Who knows how much longer, but clearly April is staying inside. Where do you think we're at now in terms of you feel better than you did last week? Worse? Same? Joe?
Sorry, Robbie just said something about me talking over, and I realize when you're talking, you can't hear me. So here's the thing. They have a state order, a governor's order, an edict, whatever the fuck they call it, where you can't leave your house after 8 p.m. tonight. You're not allowed to leave unless, you know, you're allowed to go get something to eat or if you're an essential employee, okay? Or I'm sure there's a couple other criteria. However, how does that change your life in any way? If I was driving and I got pulled over, I'd just say I was on my way to the grocery store. There's like a built-in excuse. You can't, there's not, you can't, you can do no wrong.
Officer, I'm trying to find ramen.
Yeah, I mean, but that's all I'm doing anyways, is just going to the grocery store. I mean, I guess I thought about going to like this park and walking around, but I guess I won't do that now. I just walk around my neighborhood, which is, you know, there's plenty of trails and stuff. There's no reason for me, other than to go to the grocery store, there's no reason for me to go anywhere.
Are you allowed to go to a park right now?
Well, that's what I was saying. I'm thinking maybe now you weren't. So that's something that I considered doing, but now I'm just going to just stay at home. I mean, I guess, you know, a week later, I mean, I feel like we have a better handle on getting things made in terms of masks and things and testing, faster testing capabilities and ventilators, it looks like maybe we're getting close to being able to produce those in enough quantity.
By the way, I've done no reading at all on this. I'm treating it with respect, but I'm not because I feel like there's an agenda in everything that's put out. So I'll just wait until I'll do exactly as I'm told, which is what I'm doing now.
There is an agenda, which is frustrating because it's like, can we just get the facts? And even the press conferences I watch, just like, there's so many questions. They're like, this is not an important question right now. Can we get this? So many better questions you can be asking.
I did like when they were asking that soccer coach, sorry, football coach, soccer as we know it, and they were asking about the coronavirus, and he's like, what the hell do I know? I'm a soccer coach. Why are you asking me questions about this? I don't literally know nothing. How can I possibly offer an opinion? There are people that are experts in this field. Does that make sense?
That guy was hilarious. But I mean, even with the president and these press conferences are actually, they're a little bit of a shit show sometimes because he gets crazy and yelling at reporters. And then they'll ask some stupid question that's like, is completely not. I mean, I can't imagine that being a concern. But they are. I mean, I have been watching him every day. I'm watching Cuomo. He's pretty good in these press conferences. He's actually pretty entertaining to watch. But look, I heard that we've had less deaths in March than normal because people are staying inside. There's, you know, less accidents, less car accidents, less just things from that nature.
Yeah, so, I tweeted out that the governor of Baltimore said in before he takes credit for the murder rate dropping, because it will in Baltimore. Right, crime is going to be way down because people aren't allowed to be out.
Right. So it seems like to me, I read these numbers and like, okay, the model said this would happen and it hasn't been that bad yet. And 2 weeks ago, people were like, in one week, we're going to be Italy. And then that hasn't happened. And now it's been 2 weeks and we're not Italy. And so people keep saying we're going to be Italy and that's not happening. But then on the other end, you know, every state saying you can't go out. So that's not making me think things are better. So I'm hopeful that the idea is that if we can just be strict about staying in, that we can hit this apex in 3-4 weeks and then it can start to come down. And then, you know, maybe we start walking out, we're wearing masks, or maybe we can, you know, only allow X amount of people in a bar or movie theater. And then maybe, you know, that's what May's like. And then maybe June, it's a little better. Then maybe July, it's just business as usual. But hey, I don't know. We're all just guessing.
This and 9/11, they're the biggest events in our generation, right? Nothing's going to be bigger than this.
You know what I was thinking about? There's been three things in my lifetime, and I mean your lifetime as well, that I said when they were happening, this is something we're going to be talking about the rest of our lives. Mentioned this in 9/11. The other one is...
Yeah, can I guess the third?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. It was OJ, the OJ car chase.
Yes, got it. Yeah, the whole OJ saga, yeah. Clearly not as important or meaningful in terms of the travesty of it. I mean, people died, but come on, it was two people versus this. But and we are still talking about it. They're replaying the OJ documentary on ESPN, so... I do feel like this, we're going to be talking about the rest of our lives, and we're going to be talking about Joe Exotic the rest of our lives because he's tied to this freaking quarantine.
Yeah. And of course, now, if I got this right, normally we talk about this. What happens is JL watches something, JL Covan, friend of the show, also sponsor of the Gramp Story. I don't know if there is one today, but he's a sponsor if we have one. He's like, oh, everybody's talking about how great this is. Meanwhile, we're the ones being the most vocal about it. So, you know, I think he liked it, which is, that says a lot for this documentary because, you know, his first instinct is to want to hate it.
It is, but I think he liked it because how could you not? But speaking of JL, since you mentioned him, we have to talk about this. I mean, a week ago, he was the guy, you know, on the way out. You know, maybe he's done with comedy. Maybe he's done. He's a fighter who's taken too many headshots. And now, a week later, he's a famous. He a viral video. It's 6 million and counting views of his Trump impression video. He's done 3 or 4 since. He's now up to about 60,000 Twitter followers. He's an influencer. He's getting famous people retweeting, commenting. His life has changed in a week.
Oh, God. Maybe I shouldn't have shit on him all those times. We need his help.
Look, his Trump impression is elite. And I always said this to him. The reason he can't get on TV doing it is because he's too tall and he makes Trump look more powerful. And they want to shit on Trump and make him this, you know, small, weak loser. But if he's just doing, you know, a video with just his face and his voice, then that doesn't matter. And if they ever make a Trump cartoon, who cares how tall JL is? It doesn't matter. He's perfect for that. So hopefully this will lead to maybe he can You know, I know he had said if Trump won, he would retire the Trump, impression. But now if it's making him money, maybe he'll think differently.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee you he'll think differently. No, good for him, man. I don't know anybody that's tried as hard as him. So I'm glad this happened to him. You know, my sister, my older sister, she sent me that impersonation. I go, yeah, I've seen it already.
Matt Berkson told me the same thing, that his family had sent it to him. It's blowing up. I mean, it's got 6 million and counting. Who knows? It can end up with 50 million. It'll end up with a lot more deaths than the coronavirus, I assure you of that.
Can he monetize it? I guess he can, right?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, I wouldn't know how to do it, but maybe he's a lawyer. He's probably smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah, he's smart. But he mentioned this as a topic for us today. So we'll get into Joe Exotic. By the way, it's been 2 weeks now it's been out, and 2 weeks in the quarantine is like 6 weeks. So you should have watched the damn thing by now. Tiger King, we're talking about on Netflix.
Before we start, one thing I do want to talk about is how much I hate the people on social media that go out of their way to let you know that they are not interested in watching a show that you're telling them is good. Have you seen these? There's only a few of them, but people that they decide just to tweet out, I'm not watching this show. Now, meanwhile, everybody's got 100 tweets out or messages out or Facebook messages out about this show. So basically, it's like you're a dick. You're an asshole if you're spending this much time about this thing that I'm not even bothered to see.
And now I'm seeing the people that are saying they didn't like it, because that's the next wave. They're just the contrarian. They finally watched it. They went in with a bad attitude, and now they don't like it. It's so predictable. I mean, how can you not like it? It's a fascinating, study in human nature and people, and you get to see tigers. I mean, it's got everything you want: sex and drugs, murder. I mean, it's packed full of everything.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
There's a reason that you watch suspenseful movies, right? Not everybody has to be a hero. There's a reason that horror movies do well, right? If you are able to elicit those emotions, that's the goal, right? So that's one thing, like, oh, these people are despicable. Yes, of course they are. Why else would they be interesting?
Right. It's just imagine if you treated food like that. Everyone's talking about ice cream. Fuck that. I'm not eating that ice cream. Everyone talks about how good ice cream is. Not me. I've never tasted ice cream in my life. You'd sound ridiculous, right?
Then you taste it and you're like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah. I knew I was right. All right. Enjoy your life of no ice cream, you freaking curmudgeon.
Anyway, sorry for the interruption.
No, he had just – I forget how we got to this, but – the idea of you, Joe Robinson, fighting Joe Exotic, an older man, but a man who's been around these cats his whole life. He's been hugging them and handling them, doing some physical labor. Also having a lot of strenuous gay sex, which it clearly gives him an advantage. Do you think you could take him one-on-one, no weapons?
I don't think – see, the only thing that leads me to believe I got a shot is he carried around a cane, right? But I don't think I can, right? I mean, he's been through a lot. He also is a physical laborer. I'm the exact opposite. You know what I'm saying? Like, his whole life, he's basically doing aggressive things. And I'm rarely doing aggressive things with my body. Let's be frank.
Robbie, can your brother defeat Joe Exotic?
Definitely at this point. The guy looks very frail.
Oh, you're talking about the prison Joe Exotic. You're with this guy. I don't – is he that far – well, I guess he's not really working out anymore. But just
he's probably working out more.
All that – no, he literally had to make sure these tigers got taken care of, and then he spent his whole night doing meth and fucking. See what I'm saying? It's all cardio. He's in good shape, I believe.
Yeah, now I'm saying now he's in prison. He's got that prison, getting in the yard, lifting those weights, getting prison hardened up.
Yeah.
And he's probably still having the sex, so I'm taking Joe Exotic by TKO.
Me too.
Let's cast this damn, because they are actually doing a TV series, limited series, and they've already cast Kate McKinnon as Carol, which I don't love. I don't hate. I think you hate it, from my understanding correctly.
Well, I tweeted out, look, if you're not going to take it seriously, don't fuck him. Now, I joke. Clearly, that's a joke, right? I assume people would understand that I'm just kidding. But they used a comedic actress to play this as if it's going to be played more tongue-in-cheek, like, go take it seriously. Of course, Scott from 98 Rock, Scott Reardon, goes, oh, I guarantee you she kills it. I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't really care that much. The joke isn't that it's important to me that they cast this correctly.
Well, it is important to me, Joe. And I think she's super talented. But I mean, this is a dramatic role. I don't want her to be silly.
And so, I've seen her play the movie yesterday is not, it's not tongue in cheek. It's not silly. And JL loved it. Speaking of JL, he loved yesterday. Now I thought it was a piece of crap and she was horrible in it. Particularly, he probably would agree with that because she played it way over the top. That'd be funny in, you know, Lady Ghostbusters, but it doesn't work in a movie that's set in real life. You can't have somebody playing this over the top character in the middle of something that's set in a reality. Does that make sense?
It does. And I had thought that Patricia Arquette would be my favorite, but then I think, you know, watching Ozark and the evil that Laura Linney is able to portray, I think she would be a good choice.
Now, I haven't seen, I'm all the way up to episode 9. So now my head is, the wheels are turning after you.
Well,
said
I've
that.
Seen, no, I've seen episode 1. I mean, okay. You haven't seen her be evil already?
I got it. Okay. Understood.
Two seasons in one episode. Didn't she murder a guy last year?
I can't wrap my head around her looking enough like her. You understand what I'm saying? Where Patricia Arquette seems to be able to pull that shit off.
That's not that as important to me. I mean, I think she looks like a early 50-year-old white woman. That's, I don't know. Robbie, what do you think?
I have cast that role, and I am assuming that if we're going to go across the ages, because she was attractive when she was younger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to have multiple actresses get
so,
there?
No. Okay. I'm just saying maybe we have the Irishman thing where we can make the actors look younger or older depending on what we need. But I was going for a type, and I like Susan Sarandon. She seems, if you've seen her on the show with Liev Schreiber.
Oh, yeah, Ray Donovan.
I also, my second choice would be Amy Schumer.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
You really went yin and the yang there.
Well,
right?
I just see them both being able to play both sides of that role because she's goofy, but she's also scary.
I have seen some pretty wide range from Amy Schumer.
Well, I just think, again, she's my second choice. I think Susan Sarandon is kind of the perfect type for it.
Doesn't Amy Schumer always play herself? But the other problem with Susan Sarandon is, I mean, yeah, you might be able to de-age her. Isn't she 70 years old?
Yes, but she still looks good.
Okay. But Robbie, come on, 70? We got to have to, come on. She can't be 70.
I expected Robbie to give two choices that I would have been fine with, and I thought they're both horrible. Because okay. I think it's easier to cast younger, like Kate McKinnon, and then make her look older, I think. Sarandon's in her 70s. I don't know. Amy Schumer, I mean, do we even think – I don't have any strong belief that she could be a dramatic actress any good. I mean, it seems – I don't know. I mean, I thought about, like, I was thinking like some legit like heavy hitters like Allison Janney and Toni Collette. They may not look like her, but they're elite actresses.
Hey, yeah. What about the lady? Yeah, is the lady? I guess the lady from Fargo is too old, right?
She's
yeah,
too old.
Frances McDormand.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're right, and she's skinny now too. Yeah. Oh, and she's militant. Sorry, I forgot all about that. I just saw her three billboards. Well, yeah.
Let's start with the lower, more bit parts, and then work our way up to the top.
Jeez, we can't even get past Carol, and they've already cast it, so there's nothing we need to do. All right, Kate McKinnon, we got that.
Jeff Lowe and his wife, Woody Harrelson, and Sophie Turner, Sansa from Game of Thrones.
Okay, so I got Jeff. Who's the guy who plays in Mad Men, the not John Hamm, but the other guy?
Oh, yeah. He was one of the partners in the business.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could he be good. Jeff? What's his name?
Hold on.
Go ahead, Rob. Who do you have?
I hadn't considered Jeff's girlfriend, but I think Robbie nailed it with Sophie Turner. But I like Donnie Wahlberg.
As Jeff?
Yeah.
And you're right. He's bald, right?
I can believe the douche factor.
Yeah, you know what? I like it. I liked it. And Donnie Wahlberg, he was in The Sixth Sense. He can act.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, John Slattery. Yeah, John Slattery. Robbie just looked it up. That's who I have for Jeff. All right, I'm going to just accept your first two answers. I'll accept them.
Thank you.
Next up,
Don Lewis, the missing husband. I have Gary Oldman.
He's older. He's going to be good. And he has to. Hey, Gary Oldman's going to have to play. Gary Oldman can do anything, but he's going to have to play. He's going to be afraid of her at the end, right? And he was a shrewd businessman. All right, I'll take it. I'll accept Gary Oldman.
I think that part isn't big enough for. Well, we don't know what they're going to do.
Another thing is
about casting him, but we'll just let you have Gary Oldman.
If they have flashbacks, are you going to want a younger that guy? You know what I mean? Gary Oldman is also, he's in his 60s, right? So do you want to go back? He might even be in his 70s. Does that make sense? You might need somebody a little bit more attractive because you're only going to see a...
Well, he was like 20 years her senior when they got married. So okay. He can be an older guy.
All right. You sold me. All right. Who else we got?
Okay. Mario, the real life Tony Montana guy.
John Leguizamo.
Well, I have Tony Plana, the guy who played Rafi on The Punisher. You look him up, you've seen him in a million things.
All right.
He's perfect.
I like the guy that plays the Mandalorian, the guy from
That is a good one.
Not bad.
Yeah, all right. We'll take it. All right. It.
Next, Exotic Joe's husbands. I think this one's inspired. All right. I have Mickey, Ian's boyfriend from Shameless. The guy with the screwed up teeth, the bald guy. And as the other guy, Cousin Greg from
Succession.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. No, that. Okay.
And he is 6'6".
The Cousin Greg isn't good looking enough.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, no. He's good looking.
No, Robbie. You think? No.
He has that boyish handsomeness at the same that other guy.
No, I think you need somebody a lot better looking than him.
You got to find a guy who's 6'6", Joe.
No, I get that. He has to be tall. You don't have to make it 6'6", right? But he would be, let me tell you who would be great for it if he was younger, Ted Danson. That he would be great for it. The Cheers.
No, I want the current Ted Danson.
The Cheers Ted Danson.
What do you think about my Mickey casting? What do you think about him?
I don't know that I know who that is.
Rob knows who that is.
Who is it?
Ian's boyfriend on Shameless.
I don't remember. I've only seen a couple seasons, and it's been 5 years.
Right. You know who would have been perfect for that role, and he's acted in some great movies, including The Big Lebowski. Also, if he was younger, would he flee? He'd be perfect for that.
He would be good.
But I can't.
I thought about, what's his name? Dave, no. That's his brother, Dave. The great actor that's in that movie about that horrible director that... made that movie.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. James Franco.
Yes.
Oh, he'd be really good for that.
I like James Franco.
Grow himself a mustache? Hell yeah.
All right. Next up is Eric, the guy with two teeth and the blonde hair. I like Owen Wilson as my main choice and Steve Carell as my backup.
Okay.
Steve Carell.
Wait a minute. The guy with the long blonde hair?
Yeah. The guy with the long bleach blonde hair and the dark mustache and beard. And he had two teeth in his head.
Okay, is that the guy who ate the... have you seen it all the way through, Robbie?
He wears sunglasses most of the time.
Okay, you're not thinking about the... Have you been all the way through it, Robbie?
No, I've not seen the last two episodes.
Shit, okay. Is he talking about... Rob, is he talking about the guy that talks about the heavy minute? Is that who he's talking about?
He's talking about... He has the two guys that work with him, the guy with no legs and the guy with...
Okay, so
legs.
It is that guy. Okay, I didn't know he wore sunglasses. That is the guy. He's the guy who has the expired meat.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Who do you, Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would definitely work.
I'm trying to think
of somebody who he's got, and he's an older guy. So, yeah, Owen, he's going to have to grow his shit out, though.
That's not a problem. And you can wear a wig. Safari, the one with the stump.
Oh, man.
Gina Rodriguez from Jane the Virgin.
You went female.
Yeah.
I think she identifies as a man.
What doesn't matter?
I can cast whoever I want for that?
Sure, if you want to cast a man, you could. You're right.
I don't know who that is that you're referring to.
You know her. You've seen her. Right?
I know who should play this. I know who should play it.
Who?
Okay. In the movie The Principal, starring James Belushi, the kid that he was in his class that couldn't read, that he tutored, that's the kid. That's who should play it. I don't know his name, but that's the guy who should play the one-armed person that got their arm bit off by a tiger.
All right.
Yeah, sure, whatever Joe says.
All right. John Renke, the legless guy, is going to be Peter Weller.
Peter Weller's too old, Robbie. I mean, Peter Weller's 70 years old, right?
Yeah, he's old. Want?
How about Peter Fonda? Jesus, Robbie.
Jeez, seriously.
He's dead.
Oh, man. Okay. The legless guy would be Woody Harrelson.
Well, I already put Woody Harrelson as Jeff Love.
Oh, you did already? Who you got? He's going to be like, it's got to be like a guy who can go pull redneck.
Can we make Steve Buscemi taller?
Oh, Steve Buscemi. Well, he doesn't have to be taller. He's got fake legs. Yeah,
that's true.
Buscemi's, that's a good, that's it. I'll take him.
All right. Rick, the Joe Exotic TV producer.
Oh,
that's
man.
Billy Bob Thornton. Has
yeah,
to be.
Done.
No, it's Hugh Laurie.
You know how else it could be? Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah. Or Tom Berenger.
Yeah, Berenger would be good. I agree with that. All right, continue. You guys had some good ones for him, but nobody for the last guy.
Howard Baskin.
Oh, God.
Donald Sutherland. Or James Cromwell.
James Cromwell was the first person that came to mind as well.
I love Cromwell.
Maybe, I don't, he might be too much of a badass, but maybe Liam Neeson.
No.
He plays him.
I also had J.K. Simmons as an alternate.
Okay.
All right.
Doc Antle. You guys are going to love this one.
Oh, that's Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan plays Doc Antle.
Stop it. It's Jeff Bridges.
No way. I stick with what I say. Gaffigan.
Or Don Johnson.
It's funny because I thought Beau Bridges.
Oh, Beau Bridges. But I don't even, again, these guys, you're thinking of them the last time you saw them act, right?
Well, Doc Antle, if you look, he was really good looking when he was young.
All right, what about this? David Koechner.
Oh, hell okay. Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, that would work.
Nice.
All right, who's next?
I already told you who I have for Carol Baskin. And for Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, I have Zachary Quinto.
Who the
Spock.
Fuck is that? The kid from American Horror Story?
Yeah, and he played Spock in
oh,
the Star Trek.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
He would be so good. He's gay. He's not flamboyant, but he's gay, and he would be great with the dark mustache and the blonde mullet.
What about Jared Leto? Did he blow it with the Joker? We don't consider him for a role like this anymore.
I saw him dressed up like the Tiger King. I wasn't buying it.
What about McConaughey?
No.
Why?
Really?
I mean, he's tall. He can act. Yeah. He can pull it off.
Well, Tiger King is not necessarily that tall. He's only like 5'10".
Really?
Yeah, he's not very tall.
Are you just saying that, or do you know
that he's like normal height.
All right, thinking it, and then, all right, I'm going to look up how tall he is.
And then I've got James McAvoy as an alternate.
Yeah, I like James McAvoy. I don't...
What about Michael Keaton?
He might be too old.
A little old.
Yeah, it might be too old. All right, here we go. How tall? By the way, I'm definitely not the first person that's Googled this.
Came right up.
Okay, how tall is... Let's see, I'm going to tell you what the first thing is. Olaf is the first one. Peppa Pig is next. And Mike Bloomberg is next. So now I'm going to put the Rock, Eiffel Tower, Empire State Building. How tall is... Oh, no, I shouldn't have put the. Let me go back. Sorry. Joe, Exotic, number one. Robinson, number two. Here we go. All right. 5'11", Robbie. I'm going to give it to you. And that's probably how tall McConaughey is. Perfect. Perfectly cast.
Okay.
I'm going Ed Norton.
Yeah. He'd be good. Or, hey
we forgot the guy on the jet ski at the end. The guy that...
The guy who...
Strip clubs.
Yes. That's Giamatti, right? Now, Giamatti's too old. God, you know who would have been perfect for it would have been Philip Seymour Hoffman. But God rest his soul.
I think Eric Stone Street, because they could look similar if he does his hair like that. From, what's that sitcom he's on? Perfect, the Modern Family or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. Well, what about Zach Galifianakis?
Yeah, that works.
I mean, all he'd have to do is dye his hair red.
Yeah. Well, I think we've done it. We've cast it, so you're welcome.
Directed by Mike Chamberlain.
Deal. Let's take a break. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse and that's six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he was doing. Left to right, right to left. It's like, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They're good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Welcome back. We've cast Joe Exotic. I don't know what happened today, but for a while, I've been tracking my CD. Number two on the iTunes charts, comedy.
What does it mean, number two? What does it mean to be number two? Is it this big algorithm, or have you sold the second most?
They don't tell you. They're very... I'm guessing it's a combination of sales, of reviews, star ratings, things like that. It's not that hard to get number one for comedy because, you know, there's not that many versus music where you have, you know, you have to be a big star to be number one for a music album, obviously. So it's not that hard. Like if I was doing this properly, I would have, you know, you basically release the CD with a 2 weeks before it's out, and then people will have pre-sales, and then by the time it hits, you'd be number one. But so I'm pretty happy with being number two now for basically, you know, two straight days without having done that. I'm also got up to number 20 with another CD. So once you go white, the last one. So there's people that are buying it because of that. So I have no idea, to be honest, how many sales that is. Clearly it's a good sign, but I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you, and you've been getting a lot of love, you know, from not just the social media world, but I've heard it now twice on 98 Rock. So I'm hoping that'll lend itself to some sales, and you'll snowball like our boy JL.
Well, you know what it's actually done for me? It's basically my career is not at a standstill. Things are still happening, you know. I mean, when I'm doing comedy, when I'm out on the road, when I'm on stage, that's generally when I feel the best about my life and where things are and who I am as a person. And so you take that away, and then you take away the financial part of it. You know, I kind of need something to feel like, hey, we haven't just grinded to a halt here. Things are still happening. It's given me that at the minimum.
Are you depressed?
No, I'm not depressed. I'm actually enjoying this, you know, putting this out and just promoting it and checking, you know, every hour where we're at. I'm enjoying it. I'm learning a few things. I made a mistake where I limited it to only six tracks because I didn't want to make it seem like a full album because it isn't. I was trying to make it seem like something that was put up to raise money, thinking that would help me raise money. But then I came to find out on CD Baby, I'm allowed to do $1.99 a track, because you can't do $9.99 for the album and then 99 cents a track, because it's, you know,
got it.
Why would you buy the album? So, but iTunes and Google and everywhere else won't do that. So basically, as opposed to it being $9.99, it's now basically $5.99.
Yeah, and it's not even really $5.99 because you have a penny coming off of every track. That sucks, man. I mean, if you sell 100, it costs you $400. I mean, I know that blows, but, you know, I mean.
Well, no, it's probably it's $2.50 less I'll make per download.
Okay, all right.
But I might sell more because it's less money, and you know, the more it's out there, the better it is for me and my career in terms of getting my name out there. And you know, it is only a half hour long, so in theory, it shouldn't be a full price. I'm kind of over that at this point. I'm
bought
happy
it.
With how it's doing. Hopefully to get some Mike O'Mara show mentions. I'm going to be going on Sarah Fraser's Hey Fraze podcast this Thursday, so look for that. I mean, I still got some. I'm going to hit up Kevin Hart's people, and I'm trying to get it on Sirius. But, I mean, I'm happy with it. I think so far it's just exciting to be able to watch it, to act like I'm actually doing something with my career. And I won't really receive any money for, you know, a month and a half, 2 months, but I'm sure I'll need it then. So, but popped up today on the charts, Joe Exotic, one of his Tiger King, his country albums. I guess whoever, you know, is the distributor of that put it up as a comedy CD. And I saw that, and I'm like, well, I'm fucked. No one's going to beat Joe Exotic, right?
Yeah, you're not going to beat that. Hey, speaking of podcasts, by the way, you know, do you know what podcast I was on yesterday?
I don't.
I was.
Oh, no, I do, actually, because I talked to Eric Woodworth. You were on Quality Time.
That's right. Now, I don't know. I would make you guess the movie that we watched and recapped, but I don't know that you guys have heard of this. So I'm going to give – Robbie's got a better shot than you do, but it's possible you've never heard of this movie. I'll tell you who's in it, the names that I know. Shane McDermott is in it. He's never been in anything else. You wouldn't know him. Seth Green is in it. Jack Black is in it. you know, the lady who plays Grace, the wisecracking secretary from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, she's in it.
Is this a skateboard movie?
It is. That's correct. It's a movie called Airborne.
Yeah.
It stars the people that I mentioned and a bunch of other people you never heard of. And that's the movie that we reviewed. It was me, Eric. Eric has a friend of his sit in as well. Toad, shout out. And then Jeremy Woodworth. And we, by the way, it took like 2.5 hours to get through the movie.
Eric told me that you had him busting out laughing several times when you shit on Jeremy Woodworth. So I'm excited to listen to that.
Yeah, there's one good line I had on Jeremy, but we'll save it. So you got to listen to Quality Time to hear it.
All right, Joe, you interrupted my story. I'm in the middle of this story here. So
sorry, bud.
So Tiger King, Joe Exotic passed me to number 2. I was down to 3. Then I passed him. And then I decided that I would reach out to Big Cat Rescue. That's in the Tiger King documentary. That's his rival. Huge rival. No one hates anyone as much as he hates Carol from Big Cat Rescue. So I decided I would Instagram, reach out, DM them on Instagram, hoping that they would see that Joe is beating me and that they would then push my album. So you'll like this, Robbie. I wrote this. I think I sounded like someone who would believe this would sound. I said, just wanted to reach out and say I'm a big fan. I felt Carol was treated extremely unfair in the documentary. Netflix should be ashamed of themselves. I'm a stand-up comedian that just put up a new album. I was number 2 on the charts, and I see stupid Joe Exotic pass me. This offends me on so many levels. I'm a real comic trying to make a living in these difficult times. He's a murderer. Please help me pass him. Now, they didn't respond, but an hour later, he's no longer on the charts.
Yeah, you think that they did some behind-the-scenes stuff? You think that Big Cat Rescue has that kind of clout?
I don't know. I mean, how do you go from number 2 to you're not in the top 100? What happens?
Well, I do think that there's a smaller audience than you think. Because, first of all, you know, Tommy texted it to me for free. So I wouldn't need to buy it. He literally sent me a YouTube video of all the Joe Exotic songs. Plus, I mean, you know, I mean, is that really funny? Would you listen? What would you do with it? Listen to all 6 tracks over and over? It's a fucking waste of money.
I agree. No, what I think happened is they probably put it as a country album instead of a comedy album. Maybe they just switched the genre that it's in. Because, I mean, I don't think he's trying to be funny. He's trying to be serious, right?
Yeah, I was just trying to make you feel better. I knew damn well that people were going to buy that.
You're trying to make me feel better? I don't...
Well, no. Meaning, if it stayed in the comedy realm, it would definitely go to number 1. Everybody is listening to those songs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but I'm hoping that my email, my message to Big Cat, screwed over Joe Exotic, but I don't really think.
Carol's going to be highly skeptical because did you read that the people that filmed it told her it was going to be like Blackfish? They were saying that it was going to be something that was just pro-Tiger and anti-him. And meanwhile, now everyone that saw it, other than relatives, thinks she's a murderer.
Yeah, I guess they didn't buy my my message. They didn't respond. But if they do, I'll keep you posted.
Look how full the chat is tonight.
Let's see.
I think we got some new people. Oh, I guess we need to apologize, Robbie. Do you want to talk about what happened with Patreon today?
Yes, they're addressing that in chat. They're asking. I have now released all of the shows up until we join the More Network on Patreon. So those are where those shows are going to be available from now on. All 123 first episodes.
Yeah, that was because I got an email from a direct message on Twitter from Steve Miller saying, hey, you know, I got 53 emails. And I go, lucky you, or something like that. And then he goes, oh, now it's up to 103. So luckily, he only got 20 more. I got them on my phone. And I just started deleting shit. And as soon as I was like, oh, God, how many is this? Does it stop? You know, sorry, guys.
Scott Schmidt messaged me on Facebook. He goes, just both my iPod and iPad ringing like a slot machine that hit the jackpot. Thought you were hacked.
I apologize, but the only real way to have them there is in a big chunk all put up at the same time. So, you know.
People thought it was probably like a COVID-19 warning that something had happened.
I was going for shock and awe.
Classic Robbie. hey, here's the question. So they had this tornado in Arkansas. I don't know if you saw any of the footage, but it wiped out a shopping mall. Did they just hit the lottery? Because that's covered under your insurance.
Oh, yeah. No, they definitely did. Nobody's going to the mall. I mean, you might, if a grocery.
Yeah, nobody died. Yeah.
If you're a grocery store, by the way, if you're a grocery store, I don't think you're getting more business. It's just harder to shop. People still eat. There are people eating more. Maybe they are a little bit. I mean, is there a boom at the, because we went to one grocery store during this, Katie did. It was Trader Joe's, and you had to wait in line 6 feet behind somebody else, and then they hand sanitize you or whatever when you went in, and then you went in, you had to stay 6 feet away from everybody. They rung you out, and you went out.
Well, people aren't eating at restaurants, so they're, by nature, they're making more food going to the grocery store more. So I think they're definitely doing good sales. But if you're in this mall and you have a store, I mean, you're looking at no income, but now you're probably covered for insurance, right?
Yeah, nobody's running to Spencer's Gifts, right? You're not. Orange Julius is probably screwed.
No, the grocery stores are probably not experiencing an increase in revenue because they don't have the products available. The people who are making the money are the people who are making the products people want.
If you're toilet
have
paper.
To keep supplying the stores.
Bounty and Charmin.
Yes.
They're going through the roof.
And the hand sanitizer people.
What did you fight with Katie about, Joe? Can we ask you that?
No. Maybe next week when everything's okay, I'll talk about it.
How fresh of an argument was this?
It was like an hour before we went on air.
Oh, that's hot off the press. Was it about her movie theater idea?
No, it wasn't, but I'll see if I can get her to come in and talk about it. Hold on 1 second, all right?
That's what we need, another voice.
Oh, God.
JL Covan is such a fucking troll.
Katie has an idea to pass the time in her neighborhood.
I just want to get in there and look at you.
Yeah. And I don't believe Joe buys it. I believe it's remember when Kramer said he was going to do levels in his apartment and Jerry didn't believe him? I think it's that kind of a situation.
I don't really want to talk about this, but I guess.
Now, I did tell him we had a fight before the show, but I didn't tell him what it was about.
Yeah.
But it was our only fight during the whole.
Yeah.
During the whole thing. So.
I mean, it was stupid.
It was dumb. Sorry, baby.
Did you make up?
Yeah, we did. It wasn't about this.
I think we were just cooped up inside.
Yeah, there probably is a little bit of that. But I'm going to let you drive, Rob. I don't think this should be something that I participate
in. Yeah, what's going on?
Well, Katie, it's my understanding that you are trying to set up a makeshift outdoor movie theater.
That's right.
For your neighborhood in your backyard, where you're going to have like an inflatable, some sort of projection screen.
Yeah.
You're going to set up speakers and chairs. And yep. I guess the neighborhood is going to all come over and just give each other the virus while you watch, you know, Home Alone.
Yeah. You actually named the theater. It's Five Plated Theaters.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of creative things to do. That don't involve just Joe and I, because we can't hang out with our friends. And we like our neighbors, some of them. We don't really know some of them, and we don't like some of them. But the ones that, when you're on our deck, Rob, you know, when you're on the deck, there's other decks around. We're sort of like a circle sort of a situation. So you can see other people's decks. You can see other people's houses. And we're social. So I figured I would, what if we just do a movie night where we'll project a movie and everyone can come out on their decks and in their yards and be away from each other on their own property. But then Joe's like, well, that's a social gathering and I'm going to call the governor on you. And
well,
Zach,
the first thing he said
was there's 100% chance it isn't happening, which really is the problem.
Yeah. As soon as I said that, she got the same look in her eye that when I said that she wouldn't have a dance, a father-daughter like choreographed dance at our wedding.
Which we did.
You did. So she gave me the same look. Like, no, I'm going to, now I have to do it.
No, motherfucker, I'm going to do it now. 100% chance I do it now.
But here's the thing.
All you had to say, and
it
was happening.
I'm just
going to
tell you what's involved. First of all, you got to get a screen, which is now on its way.
That's correct. I ordered a 15-foot inflatable projector screen.
Okay, but our house isn't at an angle where other people are going to be able to see
it. I will figure that out.
The people that can't see the screen, in order for them to see it,
I have determined the best place to put it based on how many children would be interested in watching this. So, like, there's some adults that, you know, I don't really give a shit if they can't see it. If they really want to see it, they can move their chair around or whatever and get in trouble. But there's a bunch of kids who probably want to watch it because we're going to play a kids movie.
Right.
It's going to be at 7 p.m. I'm going to make a flyer. I'm going to put a flyer on every single person's door that would be able to see it. And it says, you're all invited to come out and watch a movie, get your own snacks, you know, wine, whatever. And I'll play the movie from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. It might be loud. If you have a problem with this, let me know. And if enough people have a problem, we won't do it.
But there's another issue.
What?
Okay. So no matter where you put it, there are going to be people that are too far away to see or hear. You got that problem.
Of course.
If as soon as you get your ninth person, you're like, this is it. We're capped. Okay. So that's problem
number
one.
No, that's not true. It's not. No.
So that's issue one. Issue two is.
We're all in our homes right here. Why is this not a social gathering? I don't understand.
You don't know why me and you being in a house.
Sitting on our deck, talking to our neighbors from across the way. Is that a social gathering?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, come on.
I'm guessing that it's not.
Yeah.
But that's only problem number one.
Well, okay.
Problem number two is. You put out a flyer, one single person
yes.
says, hey, listen, I have to wake up the next morning at 3 a.m.
To do what?
This is a hypothetical.
Okay.
It's my job requires it. Okay?
Well, I don't know any nurses or doctors that work over there.
Listen, first of all, I don't know what they do. This is a pretend person.
This is not a random group. We know these people, a lot of them.
We don't know a lot of them, and we're talking about a sample size of 100.
Okay.
So now... we're going in there and you say, hey, if anybody has a problem, let me know. Go, oh, man, I'm a good neighbor, but I really do have a problem because I do this, blah, blah,
okay.
blah, and my shift starts at 4 and I have to be up by 3.
I have a solution.
I'm not going to be able to. Yeah, sure.
We get it. I have a solution.
Give it to me.
Whoever that is, I'll decide, you know what, we're not doing it anymore. And I'm going to post another flyer telling everybody who the person was okay. that didn't want it to happen. And if that person wants to change their mind, I won't out them. I'll give them a chance to say it's okay. I'm going to passive aggressively make this happen. This is happening.
Here's another problem. Can I give you one more problem?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I'm sure you have more than just one more.
No, listen, I'm just telling you. This is all.
You have an entire segment on quality time about your corrections to things.
I just feel like this will be difficult.
Okay.
Now, I don't want you to feel bad if you're not able to pull it off.
I feel bad. It's happening, Joe.
Okay.
Joe, you didn't even give me a timeline. I have months to make this happen.
Okay, but it's not going to happen during this quarantine. Okay, but hear me out.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Now it 100% is.
Can I tell you another
issue? I now have a deadline and it's happening.
Can I tell you the other issue?
What?
The real reason, or not the real reason, if you were to rank the reasons for doing it, the number one reason is we have neighbors who we love and they have small children and we want to do something nice.
It's something for me to do.
Well, hear me out. That factors in.
Of course. Rob, do you think this is a bad idea?
Well, let me just finish this thought.
Okay.
Let me just finish
Go
this
ahead.
Thought. Jesus. Those people that are way up there in the reasons for wanting to do this, they basically live as far away as you could fucking possibly live from us. See what I'm saying? So one of our families, either the person that's doing this, you, or the people that we're really kind of doing it for, somebody's not going to be able to see this
doing
movie.
It for. I'm doing it for myself, something I want to do.
Right.
And I think it'd be fun, and I think it'd be something. And look, when this quarantine's over, this is happening every Friday night here.
What?
When this quarantine is over, we're putting this on out in the field. Everyone can bring chairs and stuff. I've already talked about it today with like four neighbors.
Okay.
I think it is definitely a good idea for Katie or anyone to have a project. And this is a harmless project.
Thank
it's not going to cost you a lot of money.
Right.
And even if it doesn't work, you know, during this quarantine, people are freaking out about even getting close to somebody. I mean, it could work down the road. So even if it never, nothing comes to it, I think it's a good passing of time to think about it and work on it.
I mean, look, we have an entire sound system for the murder mystery downstairs, and why not just use it? It's not being used. Go use it for something good. I spent $96 on this projector screen, which I'm sure we'll use 100 times.
How much did you spend on it?
$96.
Oh my God.
What? That is a great $96, a 15-foot inflatable projector screen.
All I'm saying, this is the only thing I'm saying, is that the Fire Festival had less problems. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm also thinking that I'm going to charge for snacks and stuff at some point. Maybe the first Friday of every month in the summer, we do this, and I charge a couple dollars for snacks, and I give it to the HOA.
A couple dollars for sex?
No, snacks.
Snacks, sorry.
One word for you. Karaoke.
Up on the screen?
No. They come to our deck and Eric and Tommy do a performance from the deck. And Weird Al is clean, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of course.
I honestly, no, but they're not allowed to leave their house to come over. Unless they want to live here, which I'm okay with. And I'm sure, am I allowed to say anything?
No.
Oh, I'm sure everyone's significant others would be fine with it.
You gotta,
I think the neighborhood would like neighborhood karaoke. You mean they have kids singing songs too? It'd be still the same family-oriented vibe.
Okay. You're right.
So I'll say this. Yes, of course people would want to do neighborhood karaoke. However,
I'm making this a whole project. We're going to have every weekend in the summer, we're going to have something different. Trivia one night.
Hear me
movie.
Out.
Okay, go
You
on.
Can't take a microphone that you just sang into and hand it to somebody
no,
else.
No, not right now. No, okay. No, of course not. But
I'm saying there are a lot of...
Your entire summer has just been planned.
There's all I'm saying is there's a lot of hurdles.
No, not for me. Not for me. And I'm also going to start working on this idea I have for next Christmas with Die Laughing Productions. I've already started the work on that. So I have some good projects. Oh, yeah.
We're going to need that second one. That one generates money.
Well, that's going to happen after the movie situation.
The spite store.
My spite store. It is a spite store.
I just love the idea that Joe's going to be, you know, he can't go out on Friday night because he's too busy singing Let It Go with some 9-year-old in his neighborhood.
Yes, and blowing up the screen.
I have to. Yeah. What is a great name for a spite store against Joe? I need some ideas. If anyone has good ideas, send them to me.
Katie, I'm looking forward to your five-plated theaters.
Thanks.
I'm sure it's going to be a huge success.
You and Tawanda are welcome. Free admission every time. Joe will not be there. Joe has things to do while all the fun is happening since he shits on it.
So what? Now I have to put it up and I don't even get to enjoy the...
I think it's hilarious that you want everyone to think that you would have put it up. Rob and I both know that that's not happening.
What? Are you crazy? I do it. I put the whole show up when we do it.
What do you mean put the whole, you move a chair around?
Well,
what
yeah,
are you
but
talking
I do
about?
But I do it.
Okay.
Every once in a while I'll get lucky enough that Robbie already has it set up.
See those blinds
there.
Right there?
Oh, no, I'm not
Did you put
like,
those up or did
no,
I
no.
put those up?
No, but I've definitely, I've done that for shows hundreds of times.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. And listen, I'm not saying that you can't do it.
Give me a realistic number now that you know all that's happened. Mm-hmm. I need to know what your new updated percentage is. Think about this before you respond.
Okay, sure.
What do you think the chances are of my spite movie theater happening?
Okay. I'm going to have to answer it in pieces.
No, you have to answer it one. No, no. Rob, tell him he has to just give a number. He can't do this again.
It's again. The chances that this will happen this spring or summer. What percentage?
Correct.
Spring or summer?
Summer's out of the question. Summer's 100%. I'm just going to give that to you.
The chances that it will happen spring or summer, 8%.
Are you fucking serious?
I'm being generous. 8%.
8%.
8%. Now, the chances that it happens in the next 3 months is 0. It can't happen. It's going to be too difficult to pull off.
I cannot believe you are so fucking unsupportive.
What do you mean supportive? There's too many variables that aren't being considered. Right. By the way, it is a good exercise in problem solving.
No, we don't even need to talk about this anymore. Because we're not going to have another fight.
Oh, man. I'm just kidding.
Rob, what do you think the percentage is?
Look, I doubted you with your frank father and daughter dance, and you pulled that off.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Look, I think that this, if we're counting, it's just you and your neighbors right next to you and your other neighbors that we've had on the show, then I think it's 60%.
Okay, yeah, look, this isn't like the time where I said I was going to do a flash mob, okay? This is really going to happen.
It feels a lot like the flash mob. And
Robbie, what do you think?
I think there are a lot of obstacles, but I like your determination.
Yes. That means 100%.
He's just trying not to get you more
wrong. He basically said 100%.
Listen, the number doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
You'll either do it or you won't.
You're the numbers guy. You work off percentages constantly, okay. And now you're telling me it's not about numbers.
No, but this is what I'm telling you. If you do it, then it's 100%.
Right.
If you don't do it, it's zero.
What if I try to do it?
That's what I'm saying. Yes. When you go, I've decided not to do it, like Kramer from
Seinfeld. No, not I've decided. Like,
there
what
is
if,
100% chance that Katie will try to do it.
Yeah. No, like if somebody says I'm not allowed to do it, but I've purchased all the things and I've put out the flyers.
Listen, the chance of you trying to do it is 100. I've already seen you trying. You had a conversation with the neighbor.
Forget it.
And you bought a screen.
The neighbor's in, too, by the way.
Is she going to do it?
She's going to help me. They're also going to come over and do s'mores on the fire pit later, just so you know.
Later tonight?
I think so.
All right.
So
are we allowed to be near
you? We're going
to
be on the...
100% Joe eats s'mores.
They're going to be on the deck. We're going to be on the deck, and they're going
to
be downstairs.
I will eat s'mores out of my neighbor's mouth if they wanted me to.
You eat s'mores off that tiny cutting board.
It wouldn't fit. Half a s'more.
Guys, I use it all the time.
Yes, she does. She
Thank you, Katie.
She gets cherry tomatoes Thanks. And slices them right up.
Well, everyone's invited to my Spite Theater, so.
Sold.
Hope to see you there.
See you in 2021.
When do you think we'll know what the fight was about, Joe? Or you think next week you can tell
us? Oh, yeah, next week. Yeah, next 100%, yes.
All right, good. I guess we're done, right, Robbie?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Good show. Thank you guys in the chat. Enjoy. If you're a Patreon member, you can hear every show just like that, going back to the beginnings. So, you know, what else are you going to do? It's quarantine. Just start from one and just fully immersed in Rob and Joe and Robbie.
Let me leave you with two jokes in chat. The first one says, Joe will use a pin on the inflatable screen way before it happens. I won't do that, by the way. I won't sabotage it. And then finally, and we'll end on this, what are the odds that Robbie sleeps with the inflatable screen? It's a beanbag upgrade. Okay, go back and listen to old Robin Joe's and you can figure out what that joke means.
Brilliant. Stay safe. See you next time.
All right, bye.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.